Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the West Texas Pit Master Barbecue Show, live on Barbecue Superstars. Looks like we're going to have a good night. I got a few callers in queue. Also, Stacey Laurie is supposed to call in here in a little bit. I'm going to talk about the Shotgun Fred cook-off this coming weekend down in Huntsville. So with that, we'll get this thing started. Let me queue in a couple of people here. Looks like we've got a couple. Hold on just a minute. 864-621-4958, you're live.
Man, I had to call in night last. Number one, I got me a Miller Lite water out. And I wanted to hear that intro music. I tell you, ain't nothing like some Leonard Skinner on Sunday night.
Yes, sir. How are you, Daryl?
Hey, I'm doing good. How about you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I got one other call. Let me log him in here real quick, and we'll get this thing going. 407-697-4077, you're live. Who do we have?
Hi, Lance. It's Angela.
I thought that was you. I messed that up last week. I thought it was you, and it was actually Blake, so I ain't got all these numbers memorized.
Daryl says, hey, let's call in at Lance's show. And I said, okay. So I actually didn't hit one to queue up. I was just going to listen to you guys for a while. Because you do pretty well, you know. So I needed some entertainment this Sunday evening.
So there you go. Well, it's never really a dull moment around my place. So there's always something going on. It's like tonight I'm running way behind. I didn't get everything posted or anything else. We went out to eat earlier and went to a Japanese steakhouse. And they took forever tonight. They're usually pretty quick, but I didn't think we were ever going to get out of there. So I got home and
well,
my computer decided to go. What was that?
Calling somebody? Who are we calling? Are we prank calling somebody?
I don't know.
I'm not calling anybody. Daryl,
I'm not
you?
Calling anybody. Must be Daryl calling somebody.
Hello? Daryl's always talking to somebody.
Hey, is this Audrey Evans from the Barbecue Time?
Well, it might be. Is this Daryl?
This is Daryl Master Barbecue Superstars live on the West.
Am I on live radio right now?
You are.
Hi, Audrey.
Hello, Barbecue World.
How you doing?
I got a little...
Is this a sabotage for Audrey on a Sunday night to get her on a radio show, or what?
Yeah, there you go. Works out great, don't it?
I answered, I guess, so it worked out. What's going on?
Not much.
I got my little light water out, and I said, you know what? It's time to call the Barbecue Times and see what's going on.
Well, I do too. My mountains are pretty blue right now, so things are good.
I don't know what happened. She dropped off, huh?
Yep. I just started my first one. I'm in gear. I'm ready to go.
Now, the Barbecue Times is a publication where they go out and barbecue contests, take a lot of pictures, and talk about who won, who placed, and what happened. And but she's really a funny person, and I guess she didn't want to talk, evidently.
Well, she usually has a lot to say, but
I don't think she meant to hang up.
She always
has
a story. There's always
I knew a story was coming. That's what I was waiting on.
But they, you know, they go around and they support all these contests, and they, you know, put a lot of visibility on them. But they have really good rates when it comes to when you do your advertising with the Barbecue Time. And so, you know, I'm always referring people to them. That if they're wanting to reach out to other cook teams or to a bigger market, she's the one that you want to talk to at the Barbecue Time.
No, absolutely. You know, I do some advertising and stuff with her. She's always done a great job. And, you know, it is a great publication. So always look forward to seeing her stuff every month. So, but...
Well, I'm sorry we didn't get to hear a famous Audrey story this evening.
I'm texting her. See if she'll call and give us one.
I'm interested in hearing about the Huntsville contest. My sister just lives there in Onalaska, just east of there.
Well, I've got him in queue right now. I'll tell you what, let me queue him in there, and we'll just get this started.
Okay, she's back. Audrey's back. Okay.
she's back.
Yeah, I'll keep. Oh, good, man. Audrey, we just need a little story to go with our Miller Lite water tonight.
Well, I accidentally hit the end button. I didn't mean to. And then I was like, I know they called me back. And, of course, they didn't. So I had to get on Facebook and find the link to call in.
We did that pretty quick.
I just now texted you the number, but I was late.
Well, I had texted you and said, call back.
Man, we're getting quite a lineup already tonight. We're going to blow it out of the water again. So,
what's y'all chatting about tonight?
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about a contest in Huntsville this weekend. It's going to be their first annual Shotgun Fred cook-off.
Okay.
It's benefiting guy from Barbecue Guru. As a matter of fact, I've got him on here right now. Let me get him to tell you guys about it, and we'll go from there. You there, Stacy?
Yes, sir. How y'all doing?
I'm good. Why don't you tell everybody about your cook-off coming up, buddy?
Yeah, man, we got the first annual Shotgun Fred Barbecue Showdown. And it's the first ever KCBS event down around this part of Texas. So we're really excited about that. All the proceeds and everything for this cook-off are going to go to benefit scholarships for kids going to San Houston State University for industrial technologies scholarships and, industrial tech-related fields anyway. And, we're just excited about it. I'm kind of tongue-tied. I just got done eating supper.
I was going to tell you, I've seen that picture of steaks. Were you really cooking steaks?
Yes, sir. We had cooked a bunch of bone-in ribeyes. they got a guaranteed $10,000 payout on this one. So, that's pretty big money for down around our way. We got Barbecue Guru team's coming. Bob Trednett and all them's coming. You know, Barbecue Bob. He's coming. Butcher's Barbecue's going to be here. David Paul's American Dream Barbecue team, they're coming. Mo Kayson's supposed to be here.
Cool.
It's going to be quite a few. It's not just your, average every day. We're kind of excited about it. And it's going to be some real competition. Something I found out the other day, too, I don't know how to word it just right. They got a guy from Japan that is coming down as a guest of KCBS, and he's going to cook. He's just not going to compete, but he's just going to kind of be trying to follow the timeline and things like that. And he's actually come down as a guest of KCBS, he'll be there, and that ought to be pretty interesting too for him to see the way that competition's cooked. I see some pictures of him and stuff like that, some emails, and he just kind of goes around and does what he calls a cowboy-style grill. And best looks like he's got a ceramic cooker and some Weber kettles that he goes around and cooks on. So it's going to be really interesting to see what all he's got to offer and what all we can show him.
There you go, man. That sounds like fun.
Where's this contest at? I missed it.
It's in Huntsville, Texas.
Huntsville.
I don't know how familiar you are with our area. It's about an hour north of Houston.
Yeah.
And if you win, you're going to get a stay of execution. We execute more people down here in that part of the world than anywhere around.
That's right.
So if you can't win that barbecue, you might not get executed.
We even put in an express lane on Death Row not too long ago.
Damn.
What's up? Hey, like
now, they ain't drinking no Coors Light water down in there, are they?
Oh, shoot. That's what I got in my hand right now.
That's how we roll around here.
In Texas, we drink Colorado Kool-Aid.
That's right.
Colorado Kool-Aid.
I didn't know what that was down there. Audrey, what kind of water do you drink up there in Georgia?
Water? We don't have water. Yeah. We drink Jack Daniels around here. I might not be from Tennessee, but I can damn sure drink some Tennessee whiskey.
So you got Tennessee Jack Daniels water, huh?
I really, really, really wish I could be in Huntsville next weekend. I was trying to make it happen, but I got invited to go cook with Jim Elser from Sweet Smoke Q in the Sam's
Club.
Oh! Oh, in Alabama.
So I'm
with hot
Wachula. And cook with them next weekend.
No, wait, next weekend?
This weekend.
You talking about Dothan?
Is it Dothan? I was thinking, I don't even know where I'm going.
No, the Sam's Club, there's one in Alabama. And
okay.
Yeah, and Hot Wachula, he didn't want to miss a points race, so he followed Jim Elser to Alabama. So you'll see Matt Barber there too, Audrey.
Well, I mean, this isn't part of the points race. This is, you know, he's doing the Sam's Club tour, and then, you know, it's different, but it's the same go. The whole thing is to get Sweet Smoke Q out there. I'm working with Jim, and we're working on a lot of sponsorship stuff and trying to get some things out there for Sweet Smoke Q. So it's just kind of an opportunity for us to both go and promote everything and do it through the Sam's Club tour. So I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's fun.
Yes, it's a great product. He just become a sponsor of West Texas Pitmasters here last week, too. So it's got some really good stuff out there. I'm looking forward to doing some stuff with Jim this year.
Well, if you, I think, did I email you earlier this week, Lance?
You might have.
Hey, you never.
Do what now?
I said maybe, you never know.
For some reason, I think you did, actually. Was it for the stuff with Jim?
It was an infamous Audrey, but it was me.
Yes. I okay. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense. Yes, you did email me. That is correct.
So. It was me.
Well, I seen Audrey and then, of course, seen all the stuff with Jim, and I hadn't put the two and two together there.
I just blew it out there, huh?
There you go.
I probably kept my
go.
Mouth shut, but it's all good.
It is all good. It's all good. It's always good.
Now,
we're
going to
get
Huntsville, Texas at. I'm trying to figure out where Huntsville, Texas is at.
You know this.
Huntsville.
I'm working on there some this year. And you and I talked a couple weeks ago, which everybody doesn't know this, but trying to find some contests out there for me to get more in the Texas market. That's definitely something that, you know, in the barbecue world, in my opinion, is lacking a little bit. You, of course, have Barbecue Superstore, which does a awesome job covering nationwide. But, you know, other than that, there's not a whole lot of outlets out there in Texas, and that's one reason that I'm really pushing that market, and I think that would be a great place for the Barbecue Times to expand and cover because there's so much going on in Texas, and it's growing so rapidly there, just the same as it is in Georgia or Florida or anywhere else in the world. Competition barbecue is growing so much, and there's so many ways we can grow and expand in it. I'm just so excited to be a part of it.
Absolutely. No, you're exactly right. And we are. We're going to get you out here, and I'll get you those dates this week, too. I've been running behind, and see which one we can get you out. Hopefully we'll get you out with one of them that we have the Barbecue Superstars a live show and all that on there, too. And so that would work out good to get you in. And,
Sports Network.
Sports Network, that is it. That was the word I was looking for.
Now, I Googled Huntsville, and you know what came up underneath my Google search as soon as I put Huntsville in? It said Huntsville Prisons.
Yep.
We have five different prison units just inside the city limits.
Well, I guess Daryl better not go then.
I don't want no red dogs chasing me down.
I don't have to get you out of there, freak you out.
I tell you, it's something else living in a prison town, because, you know, like, out there, you know, I work for the city of Huntsville, and when there's one deal where we have to go to have our trucks worked on and stuff like that, and it is exactly next door to one of the prison units. And every now and then you'll see a prisoner just go walking across through the edge of the woods, and then you'll see him go walking back, and then all of a sudden you see some guards come through there with some dogs, and they're training them dogs to track them prisoners.
They need to keep those dogs far away from this girl. I don't need to go to prison anytime soon.
Just don't break the law when you come down here.
I'm not good at that. I kind of like breaking the law every now and then. It's fun.
Breaking the law. Hey, now, I'm mixing a little vodka water in my Miller Lite water, and I'm looking for Jim Elser's.
Vodka water and Miller Lite water? You just need Jack and water. It takes care of all problems.
Well, I'm looking for Jim Elser's original, and I'm going to mix a little barbecue sauce, Jim Elser water.
No, not again, Daryl. Not again.
That might be a little strong.
He was drinking Jim Elser's sauce on television. He was drinking the sauce like it was a Coke.
There you go.
Oh,
that'll do it.
Okay, I'm mixing Jim Elser's in there now, and it's good. It's sweet.
Really?
Oh my god!
I got a bottle of it laying around here.
I want to know what's in them famous Jim Elser pink drinks.
Yeah, pink drinks. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, I always give him a hard time because I tell him I can't drink those fishy. I gotta have Jack Daniel. But I promise him, come summertime, I'm gonna try a pink drink.
Hey, those pink drinks are good now. You can substitute a pink drink for Jack Daniel's any day. It's good.
They're good, but they're just a little sweet for me.
Uh oh.
She just needs a shot of something, is what she's telling me.
Man, that Miller Lite water and vodka and Jim Elser is kicking right now. It's good.
Oh. Well, I want to hear more about what's going on here in Huntsville.
I'm with Lori. We need to know more about that.
Wait a minute.
More about what?
We need to know more about Huntsville.
Oh, Huntsville. Yeah, what's going on down in Huntsville now? We done got in prison and got out. What's going on down there?
Yeah.
we got the KCBS pickup and prisons, and that's about it for until April. And then we have another cook-off. we have about four sanctioned cook-offs just in Huntsville every year. Like I said, if I had the wallet to do it, right here where I live at, I live right on the edge of the Piney Woods and the Gulf Coast area. And I'm not joking, there's every bit of 25 to 30 sanctioned cook-offs within a 2 to 2.5 hour drive from my house every year.
Wow.
Yep. You sound like you live near where I do. Every time you turn around, there's tons of them to go to. And, you know, that tells me how much the competition barbecue world is growing. I know 3 years ago, almost 5 years ago, when I got into this, competition barbecue was something you knew about, but it was not everywhere you turned around. And nowadays, you know, I had somebody ask me earlier, they're like, do you get a time off? And I said, no, it's come to the point. Competition barbecue is a year-round sport. It's all over. And no matter where you look or go, you can find somewhere to cook barbecue almost every weekend. And that's just the amazing thing about the camaraderie in the sport.
But a lot of people that do fundraisers and things like that are realizing that, you know, competition cooking is really stepping up. And if you have that competition sanction, that brings even more people and gives your contest that much more legitimacy. And it allows your charity to make that much more money.
Yes. That's very true. That's very true. It's just, it's one of those things, but I think the more it grows, the more people see of it. You become a barbecue family, which all of us know, but, you know, the newcomers out there really might not see it yet, that it grows to be a family with these people because you're out there with them every weekend, and it has become a sport that every turn around, they're pulling their friends into it, and they're pulling their buddy, and they're pulling their cousin, and next thing you know, this is, competition barbecue is headed where it's at, y'all. It's becoming a big thing, and we're on the right road to it.
It's a culinary sport, that's for sure.
It's
amazing to me.
I made a big mistake, y'all. Now, I meant to grab Jim Elser's barbecue sauce, but I grabbed Kajan's Jokia. And my mouth is on fire right now. I don't know what they put in that Jokia, but oh my God. That's all I have to put in my mouth.
Only you, Dale. Only you.
I drank me a big old swallow, too. It's all the way down. Good Lord. I'm about to get me some sugar or something. Give me some milk or something to cool me off.
Well, there you go.
Well, thanks. Listen, I hate to run out on y'all, but I was at a little get together at a friend's watching the race, and we were getting ready for everything, and I'm sitting out here, and they're all looking at me trying to figure out what in the world I'm doing sitting out here in the field on the phone.
How do you get a hold of the Bellevue Times to do advertising?
Well, anytime you can contact me, 478-218-2333. Check out our website, www.bqtimes.com. We have big things going on. You know, a new thing we've put in our website is our classifieds. We did it on Facebook for about the last year, and it's had a great turnout. People post their used cookers, what they're looking to buy, anything used barbecue related. They've been doing it on our Facebook group, and now we've got it available on our website. So if you go to our website, it cuts out all the spam, it cuts out all the BS, and you know, you can post on there, people can comment. It's a really great way to sell your used stuff if you're looking to buy some new, or if you're out there looking for something that you might want. You know, check it out. bqtimes.com/classifieds. We've got some great advertising opportunities. And, you know, the paper itself, if you are a barbecue enthusiast, it's the thing to read. We cover the fun side of it. We cover the competition side of it. Your kids playing in a mud puddle, if that's what it comes down to, because we are a family of barbecue. So be sure and check us out, bqtimes.com. Sign up for a free 3 months and check it out. It's something you don't want to
get a hell. Can we get a hell yeah before you go?
You know what? I got something better for you than that. Check this out. Hey. I need everybody on the show 3 to yell hell yeah. 1, 2, 3.
Hell yeah.
How about that for you?
All right. Just one other thing, Audrey. Could you do a twerk for us?
I don't twerk. You don't do that shit. I don't anyway.
Thanks, Audrey. Okay, calm down, Daryl.
Out here on the West Texas Pitmasters, it's all happening.
Jesus.
Hey, don't believe that.
All right, y'all, I'm heading back in here.
I believe she could twerk.
Y'all have
she
a good night.
Have
fun, Audrey. We'll talk to you later.
Bye, y'all. Thanks for calling.
Oh, my gosh. What is it that you and Lance normally do? Are you guys the real twerkers on the radio?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Run, Lance, run.
See? You know you had as much fun on Sunday night, now did you?
Stop thinking. Oh, no.
Hey, just when you come out to West Texas, girl, you got to deal with us live.
That's the most fun you can have on a Sunday night and still leave your boots on.
Yeah. Never a dull moment. Actually, I was hoping your guest could tell us a little more about the the gentleman who the Shotgun Fred's Barbecue Showdown is named after.
And yes, it's named after Fred Perkle, who's the founder of Barbecue Guru.
Oh, okay.
It's all the temperature control units and just about any barbecue pit you can find. And they also make a little cabinet style cooker that they call an Onyx oven. And I got to keep one of them on my porch for about a month a while back. And man, let me tell you, this sucker's insulated. And I don't even know how to explain it. I got some pictures of it on my Facebook, but it is something else. I mean, you pretty much cannot screw up your barbecue using this. It is dead on like the oven in your house. When they called it an Onyx oven, that's exactly what they meant, is it's an oven.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Fred went to school down here in Sam Houston, and that's how all this come to be down here. When he passed away, he left like $25 million, I believe it was, to State University. And some of it was to go to build an industrial tech building and a research lab build, for the college. And then the remainder of it was for scholarships for kids, I can't remember how many kids. It's quite a few kids. I can't remember. I don't have all the paperwork with me right now. But it's quite a few kids that are going to send to school every year, whether, for tuition, books, and things
like
that.
What a great thing.
Year. And this cook-off is going to help to keep putting money back into that scholarship fund to ensure that it doesn't ever run dry.
Well, there you go. That sounds like a great cause.
And I never got to meet Fred or anything like that, but I've got to meet a lot of people that went to school with him and worked with him and things like that. And I tell you, it really makes you feel like you really missed out on something good when you hear all the stories about this man that you'll never get the chance to meet.
Right.
And realize how many lives he touched. He just wasn't into, the barbecue deal. The barbecue deal was just something that came up on the side. And you see all these trains and stuff run up and down the railroad tracks. So, everything that is temperature driven from them is from Fred's other company. What is the name of it? Omega Therm or something like that. But that was his original deal. And then what happened was a friend of his actually came to him and said, man, you make all this stuff. Control the temperature on these trains and all these other pieces of equipment and things like that. Can you make something that controls the temperature on my barbecue pit? And the dude did it. He sat down and figured
amazing.
It out. And that is how Barbecue Guru came to be.
Well, I know a lot of, there's a lot of cooks and judges down here in FBA, Florida Barbecue Association, that they knew him as well, and I've only heard about him, and that's why I was intrigued when I heard that you guys were having a contest named after him, and was kind of curious about that.
Oh, you named it after the Barbecue Guru fella?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Shotgun Fred, that was his nickname. Shotgun
Fred
Circle.
That's what we've been talking about.
I met him at the National Barbecue Association a couple times before he died, and he was also working on a lot more cutting-edge gadgets. He had probably 10 or 15 new items. I don't know if he got them released or not. I hope the crew at Barbecue Guru moves forward with them. But I got a video of the 2011 National Barbecue Association in Greenville, and that boy was a genius. That fellow was—he was really, really smart.
Oh man, I wish I could even recount half the stories that I've heard about him. I mean, one of my neighbors that lives down the road, which we live out in the country, so, neighbor could be 2 miles down the road, but come by the house, and he always sees me out here in the backyard barbecuing and stuff like that, and he stopped in, and he was asking me, have you ever heard of Barbecue Guru? And I was like, yeah, sure, I know about Barbecue Guru. He said, well, sit down for a minute. You know, this guy, he's in his 70s. And let me tell you some stories. He got to telling me all about Fred, this and that, and talking about KCBS. And that's how I got involved in this cookout, you know, was from, you know, one of my neighbors saw me always out here in my backyard cooking, you know. And it just, I mean, some of the stories he told me, and then I cooked for a banquet for the college and everything when they finally said, yes, we are going to do the cook-off in Huntsville, KCBS sanctioned, and I cooked for that, and I got to go in there and actually kind of sit in the back after we got all the food served and everything and listen to some of the people that he went to school with and people that he worked with later on tell stories about him. I mean, it would down there bring a tear to you guys listening to these people talk about him. You know, he was one hell of a man.
What a way to leave a legacy, though, behind you, you know, by donating all that money and encouraging, you know, doing the scholarships and everything. I love that idea.
For the next guru to come along, regardless of whether it's barbecue-related or air conditioning or what, you know.
Well, and that's something that, you know, like we've talked about, Stacey. I mean, something that's hugely needed again that, you know, has really lost is, you know, trades and industrial arts and stuff like that. I mean, you know, that's how I grew up, and that's what I do. You know, especially, I mean, look at it, you know, just even in the barbecue side of it, of all the innovation and, you know, not just electronics, but, I mean, you know, being able to build pits and engineer pits, trailers. There's just, you know, all kinds of things out there that, you know, people from industrial arts and stuff like that learn and learn how to do that, you know, just in the barbecue world is huge, not counting everything else, you know. I've been in heating and air conditioning refrigeration for 25 years, and, I mean, that's what I went to with a trade school right out of high school. So it is a big thing, and it's, you know, it's something that people don't think about. They don't, you know, they don't push anymore. Mostly public schools and stuff are doing away with things like, you know, ag and wood shop and things like that because, you know, they're all worried about the liability and stuff. You know, if one cuts a finger off or something like that, you know, we didn't use to worry about that kind of stuff. You know, that's a big thing. And, you know, to bring it back and have that kind of money and stuff to promote it is great.
Daryl, what are you doing? I know it's Daryl.
He won't ever answer. He won't answer. What?
Who?
Well, that's a surprise of the show.
Oh. Oh, my goodness.
There we go.
Lance, do you feel like you've lost control?
Because if you do,
you know how I feel.
Give me a call back, or I will see your phone number up there. I'll try to give you a call back.
BK, you are live on the air on your answer machine. What is going on tonight? Call us back, 347-202-0263. Well, he didn't answer, so.
Somebody's safe. So, I get kind of used to this. I mean, there's some nights where we just kind of have free-for-alls, and, you know, it's not so bad every now and then to have a free-for-all. And I didn't really have a lot planned tonight. I know Stacey and I talking about his deal because it's coming up again. And you know, we always have a good time, don't we, Stacey?
Yeah, you know, that's the kind of free-for-all format here and there. You know, it honestly puts some of the people at ease and makes it feel like, you know what, I can call in and shoot shit with you guys, you know, just like everybody else.
Well, that's what you need sometimes because it is. And, I mean, I've had people who's like, you know, they're afraid to call in because, you know, they think it's, you know, sometimes, you know, real serious stuff like that. And sometimes we are. But, you know, there's other times, I mean, you know, we are here. We're here to promote barbecue. We, you know, we want it to be a family thing, but we also, you know, want people to know. I mean, they can call in. They can have fun. I mean, just like talking on the phone, it's not anything that's scary, or it's like not like you're standing up talking to a bunch of people in public or something like that. So, whole different format.
Ain't
nobody
going to reach to the phone to slap you if you say something stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, usually it don't get edited either. So if you do say something that you didn't want, well, it's usually out there. You're just
it's there for life, and you can listen to it later on the podcast.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything at all.
Go on, Angela.
No.
We need something famous to hang over your head.
Yeah, we will talk after the show. That's all I'm saying.
Uh-oh, I got a whooping coming. I can feel it coming on.
No.
I'm
just teasing. It's all good.
She's whooped me a couple times now. It hurt, too. I got marks.
Oh, that just sounds bad. Really bad.
Well, now, Huntsville sounds like a great competition, and, you know, I really challenge you since it's a, you know, it's a commemorative of Barbecue Guru Guy. I've got that video of all that new stuff, and, you know, it was kind of crazy stuff that, you know, you wouldn't think about the extra work you're doing in order to, you know, keep your pit going, but... he solved a lot of problems, and you know, really, if you think about all the different things that he solved, you know, there's a lot of cooks and people have copied it, but they're getting a whole night's sleep now because of BK Barbecue. What's going on?
What's up, dog?
We on last more show, and we just had Audrey Evans on, and we talked a little bit, and I said, you know, we got to call BK and see what's going on now. It's loaded down. We got a lot of people on here, so some of them's out of Texas, so I just want to tell you. So, what y'all working on tonight?
I'm doing good. Just waiting on the race to come back on. I got my little cow Brisket back with me, and me and him sitting here watching the race. You know, Brisket got kidnapped the other week down there in Florida, and I think Audrey had a little hand in that somewhere along the line. But
now, was that her Glock that was on his head?
You know, there's no telling what he went through that week. costumes he had to wear. I hope they fed him well. I know he's been drinking Jack Daniels. He smelled like a bar.
Uh-oh, that's Audrey Evans.
Yeah, I think so.
Now we're at Blitz Creek Barbecue. Blitz Creek Barbecue might have something to do with that.
Oh,
yeah.
You
told
on them.
Tommy.
Hello?
Uh-oh.
Where'd everybody go?
I was going to say, the show got quiet real quick.
I was going to say, it got real quiet.
Everybody had to take a swig.
Everybody still shows to be here. We'll see. I don't know. My internet's been running real slow for some reason here, too, so I've been trying to refresh everything to get it going.
Oh, I still hear you guys loud and clear.
Well, something happened to Daryl. He must have hit a mute button.
Well, we'll be in the middle of
the
talking.
They might be still having a hell of a time, and we can't hear him.
Yeah. He probably got excited and something happened with his Bluetooth unit thing, because every time I call him, there's like this long silent pause for about 30 seconds to a minute. And I know he's there just because eventually he does pop on, and it's always something to do with his Bluetooth. So who knows? He gets excited and
now,
he jumps around.
No, BK called me on my personal phone. And he had a reminder for us all, and I just want to give him an opportunity to give us a reminder.
All right.
Go ahead, BK. Wait a minute. I don't know whose phone, who's calling. Y'all hear me on the radio?
Yeah.
We can hear you.
Okay. Okay. I don't know what happened there. We was trying to play too many different phones. I don't know what happened, but anyway, he's going to tell you, make sure you wash your hands always before and after you play with your meat. And I just want to
exactly.
I'll go ahead.
did he learn that from Corey, or is that his own thing?
No, he's been saying that for about 5-10 years, so it's just
no,
definitely
I'm just
BK. So. Well,
I'm not
got you, man.
He's insisting on it.
We've also got Mark Bateman in from the Hobbs contest. I'm going to cue him in here real quick, see what he has to allow.
Oh, good.
So, get some more in here. 575-390, you're live. Can you hear us? I hadn't hit yet. Give another
one. Tell him to beware.
Really anywhere? Nah, he'll be all right. He's worked around the whole field all his life. He'll be good.
do you need one of us to get off so he can get on?
No, it's I think it's warm. My internet's not for some reason. Let me switch my hotspots real quick here.
He's going to switch
I got it, dude. 575, go ahead.
Yeah, I can hear you, Lance.
Okay, there you are. I couldn't tell if you were.
Yeah, how are y'all this evening?
We're good. We're good. We got Daryl in. We got Angela in. We got Stacy in. And now you. So
yeah.
You gotta have something. We need something to hold over your head for a little bit. That's what we're doing tonight. We're getting dirt on everybody.
Watch out, Mark. Run.
Well, the kind of weekend I've had, you don't need no dirt. Like I say, I spent all weekend cleaning the barbecue rig, trying to get things organized to go to San Marcos in 2 weeks.
I seen that. I seen that you were doing that, and I know that you were hanging banners, and your guy didn't show up that was supposed to do that for you, and I know how those things work.
Yes, sir.
So.
Yes, sir, but I didn't cook nothing this weekend, but trying to get ready to hit the road. As far as our contest goes, we're extremely excited to be a part of Daryl's organization.
Yeah, man, I got it listed up on there.
Yes, sir, and of course talking to Lance, he suggested we move it up 1 weekend so we wasn't in conflict with another one, and that's something that we're going to make happen. The next update is we're still waiting on the information from IBCA, but we've not totally eliminated using the FBA as a sanctioning body. The good news is, whichever way we go, local man who owns a bed and breakfast out on a horse ranch has offered to put up the representatives, if you will, of whichever sanctioning body we go with, besides donating some money to the contest. So a lot of excitement going on. Visited with the county manager Friday morning, and everything's go on their end. So it's coming together. You know, you just wish you could wave a magic wand and make it happen all at once, but it's coming together.
That's great. That's great. And so we are still good. We did change the date. Isn't that correct? I noticed it on Daryl's side.
Yes, sir. Yeah, on Daryl's website, it's not changed yet. But, you know, old Daryl's a busy man. What little time I spend on Facebook, old Daryl's got his hand in every contest going on across America, it looks like.
I do. But I tell you, I'm more excited about yours than anybody because I've always had a longing to do New Mexico barbecue, and I did get the opportunity to go to Artesia, New Mexico, and I shot a show, but it was 108 degrees, the hottest day. But I still stood out there in the sun. I shot the results and everything. But they got a thing called a Tatanga where they take a whole hog, they kill it, they bring it out the same day, they clean it, they cook it, and that by that night they'd cook it all the way and they eat it. And I want to film one of those. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I don't guess I have. But, I mean, out here, you're liable to run into anything. You got people cooking on plaid discs. You know, you got people cooking on plaid discs. You got goat cook-offs going on. I mean, it's a different world out here than it is where you're from there, Dale. And, I didn't realize it until I got to looking at your photos close. You and I have met years ago in Dothan, Alabama.
Duncan, Alabama.
I met you in Dothan, Alabama. I got a place about 25 miles south of there, and a bunch of Kim folks that live there in the Panhandle of Florida, and they begged me to drag a barbecue rig out there and enter a cook-off, and we'd have a mini family reunion, and we done it in Dothan, Alabama. And you were there, and I met you at that.
Who'd you meet, Angela?
No, I met you. Daryl.
You met me?
I met Daryl there in Dothan, Alabama. I didn't realize it until I got to looking at your website and watching some of your video. You and I had a conversation in Dothan, Alabama.
Oh, that's cool, Daryl. What's up?
Yeah, it was probably... It's probably, I don't know, 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'm looking for yours. Lee County Black Gold. Now, you're September 12th now?
Yes, sir.
Yes. 12th, 13th.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
13th. Okay, I've got that. I've just now changed it. And,
yes, sir.
Now, what kind of temperature are we looking at on September 12th? How's it rolled out there?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. That's kind of why we chose later in the year, okay, because we knew we wouldn't want nobody to try to attend one in August or July, so we were trying to get later in the year. But then we wanted to get it done, you know, and hopefully the wind ain't blowing that day, which is also a rarity out in this part of the world. But I would guess the temperature will be in the high 80s, probably the 95, somewhere in there.
Yeah. You know,
now, I want to ask you one thing. They got any farms out there where they got a high silage growing exactly in a circle where the water is and a bunch of cows, or is that more toward the interior?
No, sir, that's the only way that folks grow anything out here is with pivots like you're talking about.
Okay.
You know, trying to grow crops here when you get 4 inches of rain a year is, you got to water it if you're going to grow anything.
Well, those places are awesome, man. They're awesome. Go ahead, Lance.
No, I was going to say that's exactly right. I mean, you know, any of this part, you know, even where we're at in West Texas, I mean, it's nothing but, you know, dry land farming or what they call it, you know, irrigated, and we have lots of crop circles and things like that. And, you know, it's always amazing to fly over this part of the country and see all of that stuff and see all the circles and all that end of it. There's always a lot of neat stuff. But, you know, it's also, too, you know, you talk about thermals and stuff like that. You know, when I was growing up, you know, and I grew up in New Mexico also, that, you know, you go out and you can walk, you know, even in the summer, even in July, and you can watch the temperature. You get around a cornfield or something, and the temperature may drop 35 degrees. You know, it may be 85, 90 degrees out there, and you walk across one of those, and, I mean, it's 50 degrees in there, and you'll want a coat. So it's pretty amazing getting around some of that agriculture.
Well, that's the other thing that's nice about this part of the world that's different than where y'all live, Daryl and Angela, is quite frankly, when the sun goes down here, it'd be 95 during the peak of the day, but it'd be 75 at night.
Or colder.
You know, and the other part is our 95 doesn't have 90% humidity with it.
Yeah, makes a huge difference.
Yeah, in Florida, we only have humidity.
Right. Like I say, I've spent quite a bit of time in Florida. In fact, I've got a cabin there in the Panhandle, and you know, we used to go down there and spend about a month at a time, and you know, when you know, y'all's temperature drops at night, but it don't drop as drastic as it does here. You'll
That's
have a
right.
cool breeze here in September during the nighttime, and really before daybreak, you folks from Florida may want a windbreaker, you know, because it does. It drops at night, and it's nice and cool. I mean, it's refreshing when the sun goes down.
Yes,
because you don't have that humidity. And it's, you know, and it affects your cooking as well. I mean, you know, you have to keep an eye on the kind of equipment you're using.
Well, you know, and that's something, you know, I've been cooking and been a little bit of barbecue in the last few weekends and stuff. And I've got a weather station on my rig, and I've had several people ask me, like, you know, why do you have that on there? And I said, well, when you cook competitions and stuff, you know, the one thing that I notice very much is humidity. And the more humid it is in our part of the world, the faster everything cooks. And, you know, it took me a little while to figure that out, because when we first started cooking, you know, there were some days it'd take me to cook, you know, 12, 13 hours on a brisket. And, you know, and then you'd be at a contest and it was really humid. You put a brisket on at midnight, and the thing was ready by 8 o'clock in the morning, and you're going, crap, I'm not turning it in until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And so humidity is something that I watch quite a bit, too, because it sure will change how fast and stuff your stuff cooks, or with my stuff it does. So I always kind of watch some of that stuff.
Well, are any of y'all planning on going to San Marcos, Daryl, or you or Ansley going to go? Or?
Well, we're working on a deal. We're supposed to come film the whole thing. We're going to do live television the whole time. And we're going to have to get you on the BSPN desk. You want to get on BSPN before we do the contest out there?
Well, that'd be fine. Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, sir. We're going to roll in. We're going to drive about a half of it after work on Thursday night, and then we're going to drive the other half Friday morning. We hope to be there about noon on Friday.
Oh, good. Well, take a look for me. I'm going to take the desk out there. I don't know what days we're supposed to, Thursday and Friday, we're supposed to film the classroom, but they're supposed to have a trade show. And if they have that trade show, then during the trade show, we're going to be on BSBN, and we'll have to get you on, man. We'll have a fun time.
Yes, sir. Anything I can do to help promote BSBN, we're about. Folks here in Lee County are way excited to be a part of the BSBN contest you've got. And, I mean, like I say, I think it's a heck of a deal what you're doing. And we want to support it however we can.
No, absolutely. I wanted to get down there, but I've already been down there twice in the last month. I've been down to San Antonio twice. It just, when you're, you know, that's about 500 miles for us, 450. And, you know, it's a long ways, you know.
Yeah, Lance, it's quite the haul. I mean, according to MapQuest, from here it's 7 hours, so that's kind of why we're going to tackle it the way we are. That, and, you know, not, you know, trying to guard them vacation days the best you can, so you can make as many contests as you can. But,
right.
Yeah, we're excited about going, and of course, I attended the class, I guess. Well, it was last month. I attended Waylon Reed and Mark Lambert's class at Barbecue Live. I went to that in Memphis, and I look forward to seeing both those guys down there. I know they're both going. I don't know if they're entered or not, but I just thought it'd be fun to cook against those type of quality cooks. You know.
Right.
But it'll be fun. It'll be a fun trip. And like I say, got the fever real bad to get in it. So we decided we'd make the job down there.
Right. Well, Lance, this weekend, Chris Palmer, our Monday Night Radio host.
Yes.
He went to a barbecue contest. I got a video of the full results, and he swept the whole damn contest.
Yeah.
He won the whole thing. He won every category and won the grand.
God, no. And that's in the SBA, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to play about a minute and a half of this song for him. And Chris Palmer, let me just play about a minute and a half of this song for him, because it's not very often you get a competitor come in and sweep every category and win the grand. And it was awesome. You know what's so funny? After they called the first place, he almost couldn't get away from the stage, and he walked down off the last category call and said, "Hey, grand champion." And he just turned right back around, and let me play just a little bit of this song for him to congratulate him. And what a heck of a job. It was unbelievable.
In wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up, said, "Leave this one alone." She could tell right away that I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. Some more, baby, before I am through. I wanna be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad as a bone, bad as a bone, bad, 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 bad.
Chris Palmer, on that day, I will agree, you were bad to the bone. I tell you something, it got to be funny after a while. Chris Palmer, Ultimate Tail, Chris Palmer, Ultimate Tail, Chris Palmer, Ultimate Tail. I was like, good God, is there anybody else competing today but him?
Well, you know, those are good days when they happen. They don't happen very often. You're right about that.
So,
you know, anytime you can get something like that, it's pretty amazing.
Well, something like that happens up there in Hobbs, New Mexico. You going out to Hobbs, Lance?
Yep, I'm going to be there.
Man, I sure would love for you to see that on that day, and I could get it all on film if I make you a video.
Well, you just never know, but probably not, but... You know, you just, you never know. And the best I've ever done is I hit 3/3 in a reserve, you know, as far as that high up, you know. But, you know, and I guess, well, we've hit a first, a second, and a third, and won a grand in the state championship, so. But, you know, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, it's like a day I hit 3/3, everybody said, "Well, you got it, you got it." Man, I lost it. I ended up reserve out of the deal, so you just never know. So, but that part of it, that's the fun part about it. You know, always makes you want to go back and try a little harder and go at it again. So, I'm still trying to get my schedule worked out for the year, because we did 23 last year. We'll see. I'm kind of planning on about 23 again this year, so. We'll see how it happens.
Is that enough? Do what?
Is that enough to get you in the top of the panhandle?
Yeah, I said this year, you know, the difference was 4 points between me and the winner. And he got to cook two contests in the panhandle that I was catering those 2 weekends, and so I didn't get to cook them. And so it makes a difference. I mean, every one you can get, you know, counts. And, you know, so, but, you know, we cooked a few Lone Star last year, and then I cooked 5 or 6 Kansas City, a KBCS, and then the rest were IBCA. And, you know, I think we were out of 2,800 cooks or something this year in IBCA. That's members and non-members. I think we were 64th overall. So, you know, we're in the top 100. So last year I think we were like 48th or 49th. We were in the top 50. But, you know, and this part of it is that, you know, we're getting more and more contests and they're getting bigger and bigger. They had one this weekend down on the Rio. I think it was Mercedes. I think they had 163 teams this weekend down there competing.
Good God.
Yep. And
who sanctioned that one?
It was IBCA.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, man.
I think Craig Sherry, RDC'd that one.
Yep. Yeah, Craig Sherry, Texas Pepper Jelly. He was a reserve grand.
That's a hell of a damn cook, too, because I think he had first chicken, second ribs,
first chicken, brisket. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the deal. I mean, you know, brisket and thigh work
first,
throwing
a lot. And a seventh. Woo-hoo-wee, man.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a cook.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You know, that's the deal. I mean, you know, you get into those, and most of the time, you know, generally if you hit two categories, you can just about, you know, most of the time you just about won them. But, you know, it's like that one there. I mean, it took all three categories. And, you know, you hit like a 70, I mean, you still hit top 10. I mean, someone comes in there with, you know, 3 seconds or, you know, a couple thirds or something like that, and then, you know, hits a first or a second in brisket or something like that, and, I mean, it's all over with. I've been there.
You got over 100 teams, you know, and you got first in one category, second in another, and you still come down to brisket. You know, that's a hell of a cook.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Well, you had that. You had Victoria, livestock show down there. I think Danny Patton, One Man Pits, won that one. And, you know, I think that they had 83 or more cooks there that weekend. There was also a cook in Italy, Texas. I don't remember who won that one, but I had some buddies down there cooking that. And then Irving. What was it, the Lions Club, I believe. I know that Redneck Cookers, Brian McLarty, and all them guys who were up there cooking at that one. And I think that they had about 80 teams or something like that there, too. So,
I'm
sure they're...
Two Worthless Nuts was at that one.
Yeah, I believe that is correct. Two Worthless Nuts was there.
I want to say they come out pretty high on the hog on that one.
Yeah, let me just pull some of that up and see if I can find see how many results they've posted. That might be the best thing right here. Just kind of see, because, you know, and then that's something I can tell everybody, too. I mean, you want to go out, promote your contest, your products, or any of that stuff, I mean, come on. Sunday nights, West Texas Pitmasters, we'll do it. And we always have a lot of listeners and stuff, and it's always a good time. As you can see tonight, we're having a good time.
You know, one thing I want to throw out there is I really wish that I was to go FBA just for one reason is I wish you could experience their booklet they give out. Like, now, I'm just staple in the corner, so it's not a bound book, but it's 30 pages, and every single team's total scores, so every category of every team and every score they got off the table. And I think it even has the judge's number. And so, like, you can go through, and if you have 120 teams,
all 120 teams, all their scores for all four categories are given to everybody. And it's kind of crazy to, you know, look at who's currently in the lead, like Sweet Smoke Hill and there in Apopka. He really didn't do that hot because there was just so many teams from National, just so many teams there. But then you're able to go back on his individual. He's in the top three in the FBA in all four categories. It was just kind of neat to see every score off the table, everything that happened the whole time on that booklet. And I know you guys ain't used to getting stuff back. Could you imagine if you got something like that, 30 pages, and you could look at every score they got?
Yeah.
That'd be crazy, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's got us really considering FBA because, like I say, my personal opinion is if you enter a cook, you ought to get some sort of scorecard, you know, and that would separate us, I think, from a lot of contests out in this part of the world. If you don't finish in the top 10 or, you know, top 15, you don't have any idea if you were close or what. So we're leaning FBA. We're just trying to make sure we make the dollars work because we like the idea of the scorecards. Angela's been real helpful. She's offered to, you know, help us even if we didn't go FBA as far as advice and suggestions. And quite frankly, at this point in time, it's just been real refreshing. So we're trying to make the dollars work, and we can get that lined out. We very well could be going FBA.
Well, I know it costs a little money. It don't cost as much as KCBS, but big things, the two reps have got to travel out there. But it'd just be cool. What do you think, Lance?
Like I said, I'm all for it. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm a big IBCA guy, and I'm pretty used to that. But, I mean, I'm game to try, you know. Try some FBA. I never cooked in that sanctioned body. And, you know, that's something, like I said, I mean, I think that they're working on with IBCA and stuff like that. And, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time. But, you know, it's like anything with change. You know, sometimes it takes some time to do. And, you know, that's, you know, something we'll see what happens and how it goes. And, you know, but like I said, I mean, you know, I'm game to you know, cook different sanctioned bodies and stuff like that. Lynn Shivers and I had a conversation about it the other day with IBCA. And, you know, I told her that, you know, that was kind of going on and that FBA, you know, might come in and sanction that one. And, you know, so we'll see what happens. And, you know, it takes a lot, though, to get a lot of change and to change infrastructure and stuff like that. And that's something that, you know, they've been doing, you know, IBCA's had their scoring system since 1989. That I know of, and, you know, so it's been around for a long time. There's been a lot of people cook it, and there's still a lot of people that love to cook that style contest. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I cook a bunch of them every year myself. So, you know, as far as the double-blind judging and all that end of it, it works great. I know that, you know, and I've said it, you know, even when I first started out, you know, it would have been nice to know a little bit more. But, you know, on the other side of it is, too, is that, you know, it's no different than, you know, KCBS, and I was just looking at a deal with you know, they were talking about FBA, you know, there was a box, I was looking at a chicken, and the guy got dead-ass last this weekend, and, you know, the box itself looked really good, but, you know, and he ended up 11th overall, but his chicken, you know, for whatever reason, you get a set of judges that are all, you know, throwing low scores, and you get judges that are throwing high scores. You know, that's a tough deal. And, I mean, you know, sometimes with that side of it, you get certified judges, and certified judges all of a sudden believe that they are the expert in barbecue and that whatever, you know, whatever they deem to be good barbecue is the gospel. And so, You know, it works out, but, I mean, you know, and I don't know about it so much for the FBA, but, you know, Kansas City, there's six judges, and six judges are going to be the only ones to judge your play. To where, you know, you get a few more judges than that, like the IBJ and stuff. So, you know, that's one of my opinions about that as far as, you know, sometimes, and like I said, I mean, I've seen it at the Royal this year. I've seen it to where the guys landed on the table, they got a 180, and the low score on that table over a wide different set of briskets, the low score was a 175, so they were throwing high scores. And, you know, it was a table to land on. And, you know, that's a tough deal because, you know, that may not mean that you had, you know, sometimes, you know, when they say that, you know, you want to know where you're at. I mean, but you've got to take it, you know, also by those judges and by a grain of salt, too, because, you know, sometimes, you know, you may have cooked a good product and it's just them judges, they didn't like it because of, you know, a personal preference. And they say not to put that in there, but every one of the judges do. It's like garnishing a box in KCBS. They say that, you know, you don't have to, but I guarantee you, it makes a difference on your scores, whether you do or you don't.
It sure does, yeah.
So, well, I mean, there's things like that.
The IBC has got the awesome judges.
You're
going
to compare the last
box
you saw to the next one.
Do what?
I said, subconsciously, regardless of what the rules say, you're going to compare a box with garnish, you know, and then the next box you open up, it don't have any garnish in it. Subconsciously, you're going to compare it to that other box.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
You know, and so, I mean, you get into that situation. I mean, you know, so, you know, that's one thing, you know, like or dislike about it. I mean, there's things I like about it with the IBCA is you're bringing people that want to come out and they want to eat barbecue. They're off the street. They don't have any image to uphold or anything to that nature. They're going to come out. And they're going to tell you whether they like it or they don't like it. And it's not going to be anything else but that. I mean, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
You don't get all the other factors with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, they're coming out there and to them, I mean, you know, the one thing that you do see, and you probably see it in a lot of other areas too, is that, you know, you get those regional tastes and stuff like that. And it's something, I mean. You know, you go into San Angelo or places like that, and they're used to eating, you know, brisket a certain way, or, you know, they've got Buzzy's Barbecue or Franklin's Barbecue or something like that, and that's what everybody's eating. Then, you know, if they taste something similar to that, that's probably where they're going to hit. But on the other side of that is, too, there's people like me that travel all those ways that still do good in those contests. So even with just judges off the street, I mean, we've cooked, you know, down there in that part of the world, we've walked, I mean, we've cooked in Kansas City, and I mean, we've done well, so, you know, I can't always say that it's all about that, but it's funny that you get some of the same results sometimes between certified judges and people off the street. So there are some similarities. But
well,
I think people off the street can go crap.
BSBN gets out there at Andrews, Texas, and we start rolling with the IBCA, I'm probably going to want to get as many IBCA contests on BSBN as I can because everybody talks about they're a lot of fun. It's just a great attitude out there.
Oh, they are. And I mean,
My deal, Lance, is not the quote-unquote quality of the people they're using to taste the food. Okay? My deal is you do not get results for everybody that's in it.
Oh no, and you know,
really,
Mark, again, I've talked about
it. It's really the only competition that I've been a part of where you didn't know where you finished.
Well, and like I said, I mean, here's the hard part about it, and kind of like what you and I was talking about the other day, I've kind of figured out some of that part of it there as far as why it would be so hard. I mean, you know, we've talked about the series points and stuff like that. I mean, and without a doubt, we can tell you if you made it, you know, the first table, or you made the second table, you made the third table, you made the fourth table, or how many other tables there are. But the thing is that if you don't advance, you see what I'm saying? you know, if you don't advance, I mean, so you've got a whole table of trades that may be on the first table that didn't advance. And they're going to be scored 1 to 10, and, you know, you're going to have 5 to 9 judges, 5 to 7 judges on there. So you could have a score of 50 to 90. And then that's going to go again. And, I mean, so I guess you could go that way, but you see, it's going to be a little different than it is when you go into, like, KBTS, and there's only 6 judges that looks at your trade. That makes it, you know, you see what I'm saying, from a scoring perspective, you know, that's not hard. I mean, because only 6 judges look at your trade, so you're going to pull that team number, and or you know, even if you had a double line, you do that ticket number. There's only 6 judges, so there's only 6 judges you've got to tabulate on that box. To where you could have 20 to 21, depending on where you end up, you could have 20 to 21 judges looking at your box in IBCA. That's the difference. And I don't know, I'm not exactly sure how to score that whole thing out completely on that either end of it either.
I
understand what you're saying.
Yeah. The point I'm trying to make, and I'm not smart enough to tell anybody how to fix it, okay? Let's don't be mistaken about that, okay? What I'm trying to do is I see the dream that Daryl has, okay, with taking this to the size of NASCAR, okay? One thing about the NASCAR race is when it's over, we know who finished last and why.
Exactly.
Okay? To me, if we're going to fertilize Daryl's dream, okay, and get BSPN to be as big as NASCAR, which I hope it does, okay, Daryl, I'm cheering for you, okay. But the reason I'm bringing up this issue is, as a competitor, okay, if you're going to compete in something as big as Daryl's dream of this being NASCAR size, okay, we're going to have to get a handle on the scoring, or else we're going to have a Chinese fire drill like we had the other night in the Olympics, okay, over the scoring of ice skating, okay? I mean, there's got to be a format, okay, that will work, okay, that it's obvious why come you finished where you finished.
Well,
now,
okay.
I'm not
smart
enough to tell you what it is.
I think KCBS is moving one step closer to dealing with that, and it might take, you know, it might take a few years to figure out how it's going to work and everything. But they can,
so
you know, from what I understand, they can track each judge and how each judge scores.
That
so
is
eventually,
correct.
When they know which judges are coming to do a contest before those judges show up, they can spread out and average the tables. They can put, you know, so many judges that score low and so many judges that score high and so many judges that score average on a table together to where every table is averaged out fairly even.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, it might not happen now. It might not happen 5 years from now, but eventually they will figure it out. They're moving one step closer, you know, to that with their new scoring system.
Well, and that's the deal. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's like the roll. I mean, you've seen it. I mean, you could see the judge's averages on the table is through the 180 for the brisket. I mean, you've seen it. I mean, those guys' average scores were like 32 out of 36 for the day. So, you know, they're throwing high numbers. And then, you know, you had judges that were throwing 25s and 28s, you know. You know, and so you ended up, you know, because they don't take but a couple of those guys, and they'll bury your butt. And,
that's absolutely,
you know,
right.
Well, the longer they continue with the scoring system, they'll figure, you know, eventually they're going to figure out a way, you know, like I said, to where they can know what judges are coming ahead of time, and they'll know where to place them, you know, almost like a reserved seating type deal.
Right. Well, and I said, I mean, that's still the downside to it right now, and I agree with what you're saying, Stacey, because that's what needs to happen, because right now, you know, they've got the scoring system, but they don't have that other part of it in place. as like I said, I mean, you end up on a table that's all dumping low scores. You end up on a table that's shooting all high scores.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're looking at your results. I mean, they're not, you know, they may not be indicative of what, you know, what really went on there that day. Because, you, like I said, you know, the one problem with this whole situation is the human factor. And you get certified judges that, you know, perceive that they are the god of barbecue and they know everything that they need to know about it. And they go in there and if you don't hit what you might have great barbecue that day, but if it's not what they think that they like, your ass is going to get tanked. And
well,
it takes about two scores.
The other fact about that is that those big-time certified judges who just swear up and down they know it all are getting their flavor profiles and ideas from the top barbecue schools. So you've got, you know, a couple figures over here that say they're the godfather of barbecue, and those expert championship judges are looking for what's taught in those schools. So you've actually got like a commanded or a dictated flavor profile in order to win that contest, and that's not competition barbecue. That's the Don over here ruling what is going to win.
No, I agree. I mean, and that's the thing is, I mean, you know, you get into a situation, and I mean, you know, it's like hell, and I mean, and I've been there. But, you know, you still do. I mean, you get, you know, and a lot of times, I mean, that's not at every contest. But, you know, that's why I tell everybody, you know, even when I started cooking, I mean, you go into a contest, like I said, I cooked IBCA hard and heavy the first few years, and I still cook it pretty heavily. You know, don't go out there and cook one contest, and if you don't do well, go and change everything. Because, you know, it may be just something subtle. I mean, go in there and do a little minor tweaking to your products and, you know, see what happens. And sometimes that's all it takes.
That's the one thing about KCBS scoring system, though, is if I cook an IBCA cook-off, you know, and the majority of the time, my brisket's in the top five pretty much every cook-off. All right, my ribs and my chicken are just kind of here and there and this and that, and I've been tweaking, and finally I started leaving it alone, and I've hit a couple times, but the times I didn't hit, I don't know which direction I need to go. You know, with KCBS, I can at least look at a taste and tenderness score and know, you know, and possibly maybe get a comment card that, you know, says, hey, you know, your chicken's too spicy, or it's, you know, it's this, or your ribs are that, you know.
But, you know, in all the KBCS,
you don't get that in IBCA. If you're not top 10, you're ass out. You don't know nothing.
Yeah. But, you know, even in KBCS, I've got one comment card in all the cooks that I've cooked. And it was in Austin, Texas. They told me that my chicken had too much smoke in it. And that's the only comment I've ever gotten. And, you know, just what you said there, too. You know, it's kind of funny because, I mean, I've had scores to where, you know, they're scoring you eights and nines on taste and tenderness, and then you get one judge in there, and he takes you. He throws you a four or a five in a contest. And it's like,
But then you kind of got to go with what did the majority of the table say? You know, maybe this one guy, you know, was an ass clown. You know, didn't.
Well, that's it.
He's used to eating at Dickies, mm-hmm. you know.
So, you know, I said, I mean, and that's the deal. I mean, you know, I guess, you know, the only way to really fix it all the way is, you know, I guess we could have one sanctioning body.
But maybe the sanctioning bodies could get together and come up with a common scoring system. I mean, apparently FBA scoring system and KCBS ain't too far off.
Mm-mm. The FBA is just more in depth. The FBA gives you every single score that was given by every single judge to every single team. It's fully listed. They don't pull any scores, and every competitor gets everybody's scores, so they can actually go back to each other, and they do this. Sometimes, you know, what was yours like? Well, this is what you got. And they can really work together. And they actually have a cook called the Fun Cook. And all they do for 4 days, they get to turn in two sets of boxes, is work together, figure out what hit at what contest, keep the scorecards. And then for 2 days, they just sit down and try to figure out what is the absolute best. And I tell you, it's top five, top six, switching places every week. Sweet Smoke Q's number one has never come out of number one, but the bottom four behind him are dead in his ass every week, and you never know who's going to be in second or third place. It's, you know, I'm really impressed with the fun. Now, tomorrow, 9 o'clock, I'll be broadcasting that. But, you know, as far as randomization, IBCA is number one in the world in randomizing their boxes. Nobody knows who boxes what. But the only problem that IBCA has is reporting, and that comp BBQ. Now, them fellas, Stan Hayes and the other fella, they could come in there and solve that for IBCA. And if Lynn Shivers, you know, could just get the word, you've got the grassroots to have the best sanctioned body ever, ever formed. You just
well,
keep comp BBQ
in
there.
Right,
huh?
Will Claver and them guys are the ones doing the IBCA website, and they've gone in and they've got a bunch of work in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're doing a lot of that right now. And, I know there's a lot, yes. I mean, because you can go in now and pull, like, Head Cook, and you can see, you know, like this last year, I was able to see all of my scores and everything that, you know, of course, I mean, it's all top ten stuff, but, I mean, anything that we hit top ten, stuff like that in there, it was all in there. And, you know, how many points you got to where, usually I had to go to each contest and find all that stuff out. And then, you know, as far as, you know, the panhandle, as far as the panhandle pit, then I track the scores for the whole panhandle. I'm the one that actually runs the points contest on that every year. And, you know, so I can kind of see, you know, where everybody's done, how they are. And, I mean, you know, last year it took 140 points to win it last year in the panhandle. And so it took, you know, it took some pretty hefty contests to do well to get up there. But like I said, they all run up some of that stuff, and we'll see what happens.
But, you know, I love cooking IBCA. This KCBS contest coming up, that's the first KCBS I'm doing. The only thing I'm nervous about is the garnish in the box. I mean, you know, I've been out here in the lab, you know, a.k.a. my backyard, you know, going to town. And I've got everything down. You know, I've got it wrote down exactly what I need to do, when I need to do it. But that salad in that box is scaring the hell out of me. If I don't do well at this contest, honestly, that's the only thing I can chalk it up to is my appearance scores are going to be shit.
Well, you'll be surprised, and I will say this, though, you do want to do parsley.
The only thing I'd like to see IBCA do any differently is I'd like to see it beyond top 10.
Yeah,
you got to do them all. I want to know, do I need to go back to the lab and completely revamp everything I'm doing, or do I need to just tweak a little bit?
Amen.
Every competitor out there counts. Every single person that loaded that trailer counts. You got to have their score. You got to have it on the website. You got to report. But, you know, as far as KCBS goes, man, I followed them for 2.5 years, and I ain't trying to down them because I think there are people in that organization, a few, especially higher up, that are trying to do the right thing. But the one thing you need to do when you get your scorecard back is take your four scores, get a calculator, and add the four scores up and see if your score at the end is right. And then see if there's problems, because 90% of the contests I went to, you know, people could look at their scorecard and tell KCBS number one problem, absolute number one problem, when the judge writes the score down and that card is taken to the computer, they cannot correctly record this score from the competition card. They can't do it. I don't know what's wrong with them, but when they see that 6 or that 9 or that 8 for one of the 6 scores for a category, they can't record it right, and then they can't get the totals right. They never, every competition, if anybody, when you do your contest, everybody needs to get a calculator and add the 4 scores up, and there's going to be 5, 6, 7 that the total number's not correct, and I don't know why. And I don't But you know what? They say they're number one. Gee whiz, looks like they could write a few scores down and at least calculate them up right. And I know they're doing all this showy stuff so people can see, oh, well, we're ranking judges and we're, yeah, that's all fine and good, but they need to work on their basic mechanics. You know, when the judge writes a nine, can they add those six scores up and get it right on the scorecard?
Well, one thing you can't do is a PBJ class here in Knoxville this Thursday, right before the kickoff. You know, if everything works out, you know, time schedule-wise for me, I want to go sit in a class. Just out of curiosity, you know, what are they looking for? You know, what does their people say this box should look like, at least garnish-wise? You know, and that's one of my major curiosities about the CBJ class that they're going to have here Thursday. You know, what is it about? You know, that's what I want to know.
I'll give you one hint here. You know, I did KCBS for 2.5 years, and all I did is shoot them and investigate it. Holy smokes, the fellow out there, Dion and Gary Lanton.
He absolutely
makes the number one garnish box in the world. Nobody can match Gary and Dion Lanton's garnish box. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know how in the world he gets that parsley to look the way he does. But if you can get with him and just let him give you some pointers, you'll get your garnish right. He's number one. And then number two, sweet, you got to have pepper jelly on your chicken. That's number one. You got to have Cimarron Dock smoking guns on your ribs and your pork. And then
I'm already hip on the pepper jelly.
If you do Cosmo Butcher, or I tell you, Talk Texan Barbecue is pretty hot.
Yep.
And if you get Cosmo's Barbecue School and then stick with those straight products, that's what they're looking for. That's what they're teaching in the class, and it's all pretty straight. It's just a matter of how your cook goes and whether you can get it to that bite through on the bone for the ribs, bite through the skin, the whole thing on chicken skin, and then get the consistency on pork so you can make those, they call them gumballs, but little square tubes and it's really regimented. I mean, if you go to Jack's New South, Myra Mix's barbecue class, he'll teach you exactly what to do, and all it is just going out there and performing it every time and doing it, and it's really legislated, you know, regimented.
Right.
So,
let me
log this one in. I think I know who this is, but we'll get him in here. 731, you're live. Who do we have?
I'm just sitting here listening to all this conversation. What's going on tonight?
We've got the Chadwick man in here now.
That's it.
What's up, guys? Y'all in it deep tonight.
Oh, you said I heard the first part of the show.
We had
Audrey and Angelo in here, and it was pretty loud and pretty wild there in the beginning.
Well, I had to get in, give you a big shout out. I hadn't been able to call in the last few weeks, and I like to check up and see what's going on. And sounds like y'all got a good one fired up right now.
Yeah, we got a little beer flavored water going on, and you know, mountains are still pretty blue. So,
well,
I
tell you what,
it's always a good thing.
You need to have some of my good old Hog County home brew, son. I'm telling you, that beer.
I'm telling you, I'm waiting for it to come down here.
That's not a six pack drink. I'm telling you, that's more like one or two, and you've had enough.
What?
I don't know what alcohol
County distributorship to ship some protection.
I'm telling you, we gonna load her up on an 18-wheeler, and we gonna have Smokey and we gonna have the bandit deliver that shit. Hell yeah, hammered down.
You know that's why Kurds was illegal, you know, east of the Mississippi for many, many years. Yeah. Well, too much alcohol content for all the meeters.
Call me the band.
I don't see anyone.
I'll never forget. I went up to New York and I was like, "Hey, I got Coors." They're like, "Hell, it just become legal up here a few years ago." I was like, "Really?" I was like, "Damn."
They didn't say get a rope.
Yeah. Well, you know, back in my old days, I used to carry a rope in my truck, and it used to make a lot of people nervous about shit like that. You know, you went into certain parts of the neighborhoods and stuff. You know, you had to be careful about those kind of things years ago. So they see a boy from the south with a rope and curves, they always thought they were in trouble.
Mercy. So what's
but
new?
It's all
what's
good.
New tonight? Well, that's all right. Sounds good.
Well, we've been blowing it up all night and talking about judging systems and stuff like that and what we need to do to rectify some of that and, you know, kind of get everything on a level playing field and I agree with everybody. I mean, you know, like I said, when I first started out, and I've said it before, you know, it's been nice to know a little bit more about where you're at. I don't know when that may happen with IBC, if it will happen, but, you know, I know there's a lot of people voicing it. There's even a lot of chat. Lynn acknowledged some of it the other day that, you know, there's been a lot of stuff even going on Facebook. There's been some guys that, you know, have really been pushing it. There's been lots of debate about it, lots of discussion. And, you know, we'll see. You know, it's going to take time to do something like that. I mean, it's not all going to happen overnight. And, you know, we'll just have to see how it happens, how it plays out. But, you know, like I said, you know, here in Texas, you know, it's a big part of how we cook. And, you know, you get used to it or you're passive about it or whatever. I mean, it's just the way it is. And, you know, you learn that's, you know, and that's what everybody around here is used to cooking. But, you know, it's like even Mo Kaysen and stuff. I mean, you know, he's coming down. He's cooking some IBCA and stuff this year. And, I mean, you know, he's been on board of it. He judged at the San Antonio Livestock Show last year and was really impressed about it. And, you know, that was kind of what, you know, brought him in, saying, you know, "Hey, I'm going to come down and cook with you boys. I'm going to cook that." He said, "I enjoyed it. I liked the scoring. I liked the judging." And, you know, so, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, the foundation and the structure, the system itself is completely different than a quote like a KCBS or a standard style judging. You know, I heard Stacy saying something about CBJ, going to take that CBJ class. It'll help. It won't answer all your questions. It will open your eyes a little more. It doesn't go into as much flavor profiles as the what they're actually looking for. The flavor profiles is going to be all the flavor profiles is opinionated to each judge that is sitting in that judge's chair. One might not like it as hot as the other, so that is always going to be the differential in judging. Right there is the difference in people's palates and their opinions on the flavor. So, I mean, it's a hard game to try to figure out. But like I say, I've had the CBJ judging class, and it will help. But, you know, I think a lot of that just comes with work, with continuing the competitions, the cooking at different locations. You know, locations, flavor profiles, locations, that's the big key right there, because everybody's different. They all eat differently. They cook differently. And whereas you might be spot on the money at this one competition, you go cook the next one that's 150 miles away and you just hit. You get a 7 or get a 6, which when you do that, it just knocks you out of the game. It's over. It's what you call experience. You just got to keep doing and keep going and keep going and keep cooking and just learning your regions. But overall, it'll help.
Yeah, that's what me and Lance talked about before, too. You know, you always hear, you know, people talk about North Carolina barbecue and South Carolina barbecue and this and that, and then they get off on a tangent about Texas-style barbecue. Well, Texas is such a big state, there is really no Texas-style barbecue. You know?
Right.
Like up where Lance is at, me and him talked before, they cook their chicken a little bit lower and slower than we do down here. If you're not pretty much grilling your chicken down here where we're at, you're not going to do shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and up here we're a 3-hour cook. You know, lots of
you're
smoke in them.
We're doing chicken halves in 45 minutes to an hour down here.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
You're grilling overheat. Yeah. You're cooking them bad boys.
350, 400 degrees.
Yeah. We're
low and slow up here. Low and slow. But
well,
I'll say
you know
this,
what?
You know, I'm a new cooker. I don't know. Chicken's kind of flying on Mr. Frank Cox cooker up here. My whole cooking style may be a little different this year.
Well, I tell you what, a good pit master. Bottom line, a good pit master, when he goes somewhere different, if he's cooking on cooker A or cooker B or cooker C, he has to adapt and overcome and make that bad boy do what he wants it to do. And whether it's low and slow, hot and fast, or low and slow and then char it up hot and fast to finish it out, just whatever it takes. You know, and it's all about execution. And it's about how your cook's going, because your cook is not going to go the same way you ever cook. You're going to have different variables involved, and you're going to have to make adjustments to those factors and just get in there and get it done, boys. I mean, just that's how we do it. My cook is never the same. I'm telling you, it's not on the money. It's not wrote down on times I'm cooking. It's by the seat of your pants, what's happened here, what's happened there, just let's get it done, let's make it right, let's turn it in. And you just learn, you know, as you cook, the more you cook, the more you learn that you have to do those kind of things. I mean, it's not a textbook by schedule for me. It never has been. And it's execution. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can be the best cook in the world, miss it by 15, 20, 30 minutes, execution, you're done. It's over.
I'll tell you what, man, the best damn thing I've added to our arsenal around here is a damn UDS. That is a pork-cooking son of a bitch. I don't know if it's about where we live at or whatever. But
they are good. They're good.
I don't care if it's a pork chop, a pork loin, a pork butt, a rack of ribs. You cannot whoop it out of that UDS.
Yeah,
they maintain a good temperature. But, you know, I'll tell you something that's going on at the KCBS, and I'll throw this in there, is you got big-time cooks that go there every week, and they've got their every five-minute schedule, you know, all the way up through the last 4 hours. And so what they say out there in the competition is, well, they got certified judges, but do they know what they're doing? You see, it's so regimented coming out of them schools that the top competition cooks want the judges to be trained by what comes out of the schools so they can do this locked, regimented barbecue for each category. And if you're trained well enough in the school and the judges are trained well enough to look at, then you go in there and win 15 comps in a row. And that's why I don't think there's any other sanctioned body in the world where you got some cooks that go in, win 8, 10, 12, 15 cooks in a row or, you know, in a year. And, and it's because, you know what, if you can get that system down good enough and the judges are trained by the schools, hell, just go in there and win it every single week and everybody else who didn't pay the money to the Don can't figure out what's going on. And then if you think about IBCA, shoot, they just grabbed somebody off the street. I'd be willing to guess that that non-partial judge is going to give a whole lot fairer representation than looking for the chicken that's got Beef Injection, Cimarron Dot, Smoking Guns, and then Texas Pepper Jelly on it, and is trimmed and cooked and everything exactly the way it's dictated. You know, that judge in KCBS is looking for that. He knows what to look for because he's a certified judge that knows what he's doing, quote. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's,
yeah.
See, do you see the consideration there?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Well, all them judges, you know, just like the Jack Daniels, you know, they had a judging class right before the Jack Daniels invitational where they could have enough judges. And them boys, them new, what I want to call rookie CBJs come in, and I'm sure they rocked the house because you had some experience that you had some experienced judges on the table, and then you had these new rookie CBJs come in. And, well, I don't like that. And whereas this senior judge might have hit it a 9, this rookie might have hit it a 7.
Yeah. Well, and that's the example with the Royal. I mean, you got five in the Open. You had 562 teams, 539 teams, whatever the hell it was. I mean, she had 539 judges, and there's no way that she had that many certified judges. I mean, you know, and you get into these contests, and you got over 100. You're trying to drag, or even 60. I mean, you're trying to drag in 60 certified judges. That's what happened to Midland last year. I mean, we had 60 teams. They needed 60 certified judges. They didn't have it. They had less than 20% certified reporting. And that also makes a difference, too, is that, you know, if you're going to run a contest, a KBCS contest, and I think that they all ought to be, you know, certified judges, you know, instead of, you know, getting a real big hodgepodge.
Because well, that'll level the playing field. I tell you what, that'll level the playing field when you get rookies in there amongst the pros. it levels her out, and I'm telling you. Just like Tennessee Barbecue Association, you know, we're still new at our events. We focus on a lot of local events, community festivals, and trying to get them all on the same page. But the thing of it is, on all these events, you're going to have local dignitaries, whether it might be the ladies from City Hall or the mayor come in or the police chief or maybe a couple of restaurateurs, you know, guys that own restaurants that come in and might want to be judges or somebody special come in. You're going to have a few of those in the mix regardless. And you've got those. Then you've got come in with our judges, judges that are basically on a even kilter looking for the same thing, looking for just a good, constant product, a good, consistent product. But it's all opinionated. I mean, every one of these judges is opinionated, and if they scored on taste and they scored on tenderness and appearance, that's your three categories that they scored on, and if they scored all down that way, whereas the lady that works at City Hall might think it's too hot and won't give it a 9, whereas the CBJ will come in here and give it a 9. And then you've got that's where your discrepancies come in. So in the Tennessee Barbecue Association, it gives it a level playing field when you add your dignitaries, your local dignitaries, and you have your table captains instructing them what they're going to do. And then you have your CBJs, which we have KCBS CBJs, you know, that are in the mix too. So the local dignitaries and all these little events, that's where the equality comes in, I think. And as far as a cook's concerned, if he's going to cook it, he knows his product. He knows how he cooks his product. Whereas he might think it's the best in the world, and you try it, you can tell him it's just shit because you know it's not good. And yeah. You know, I mean, you have that. And that's every competition.
Yep.
That's one good thing about this cook-off we're fixing to have here is, you know, the Shotgun Fred cook-off, you know, KCBS certified and everything. So we've got, right now, I think they've got 35 teams paid, you know, so... You know, we might pull a few more teams, you know, late entries and this, that, but they're local. But they've, for hell back a month ago or so. The organizers told me they've got approximately 50 CBJs that are ready to do this contest.
Right.
You know, and that's not just from Texas. They've got folks coming from Louisiana, Missouri, Oklahoma, Louisiana.
Yeah.
You know, that are experienced. You know, and the main reason they're doing this CBJ class is because they're expecting to, you know, like I said, this is a first annual, and they're, you know, and technically you shouldn't call it a first annual because it hasn't happened a second time. But
right.
It's going to happen again, and they won't.
Yes.
They want to get the local people involved. But
well, they have to. It's important.
Right. Well, for this first one, you know, everybody that's coming to it is going to be an experienced judge. It's, anybody that takes a CBJ class, chances are they're not going to judge at this one, but they're going to have the experience to go on and judge other contests and come back the next year.
Right.
Well, that's where you get experience. You got to get out there and get it. You got to get out there and you got to get in the trenches and do it and do it and do it. And that's where experience comes in. You know, there's a lot of people who want to come in and say, well, hell, I know what I'm doing. You know, they've never done it before in their life. You know they don't. But that's exactly how you got to get in there and get it and have help.
Well,
I'm sure.
Like I said, you know, the appearance deal is what worries me more than everything. You know, I know my barbecue tastes good, but can I make it look pretty?
You got to work on that. It takes time. I'm going to tell you something.
Yep.
You got to work on it. You garnish box, just make it nice and even around that box and put that meat in there. And it takes a little practice. It really does. And,
I'll give you another deal on that. Take a picture of it. Take a picture of when you get your meats up in there and then look at that picture because I guarantee you, you'll look and you'll think, man, that box is perfect. You'll take a picture, look at that picture, and I've done it afterwards, and I go, oh, crap, that was out of place, that was out of line. Take a picture of it and look at it again.
That's true. That's a good tip, Lance.
I can guarantee you, you know, every box I turn in at this cook-off, I'm going to take a picture of it, and I'm gonna put it on Facebook, and I want people to look at it, and you know, as bad as it sounds, I want to tear my ass apart on it.
Yeah, well, that's
because I want to know. This is my first KCBS event, but it ain't going to be my last.
Well, I tell you what, Stacy, what you better do, listen to Lance on that. It's a good idea. You take a picture, and it's hard to do. You're going to have to be prepared, have your boxes already ready before any turn-ins ever even started. Because you've got 30 minutes in between turn-ins, and you don't have time to mess with it after that. You've got time to get it.
I'm going to tell y'all this. Jason Adam, 82's Barbecue, has done thrown me a hell of a bone on the boxes, and I'll be building my boxes before I even go there.
Yeah.
To cook off, and I'm having ready. You know, Jason's helped me out a lot, and I'm going in there with his sauces too. You know, with his barbecue sauce, I'm going in there with his advice and his sauce, and I'm going to get it.
I'll tell you what, when you make your boxes, take you two or three paper towels and fold them up.
Exactly, that's what he told me already.
And wet them down. Keep them good and damp and cool, and lay them over your green. And
it works great.
My boxes are going to be made Wednesday night. I'm turning in seven different categories at this cook-off.
Well, you don't have to garnish all seven, do you?
I'm going to just in case. Because I don't know.
What's seven categories?
We have beans, and which
okay.
I don't know if when you turn in the cups and if they got to be in the box and be garnished around the box, we'll find out. We have open meat, and we have open dessert, or chef's choice, whatever you want to call it, and then we've got the regular four categories.
What? Now let me ask you this: you only your main four is only going to count towards your points, right?
Yes, yeah. But I don't want to cook the other just to throw my money away.
No. But I'm saying you concentrate on them main four. That's what gets you the money. Now the other categories are, you know, I'm sure they pay, but the main money is in the big four. Just like when we go to Tupelo, hell, we're doing eight. We're doing chicken wings, salsa, shrimp, and pork butts as ancillary categories. And then we've got our main four to turn in the next day. We're going to be busy. We're going to be cooking. But my main concern is them four, you know, brisket, ribs, and chicken. You know, that's what I'm going to really concentrate on. Because that's where your money and that's where your call is and that's where your points are.
Yes, sir.
No, that's absolutely right. Absolutely right. So, guys, we made it through another night. Been a busy night. And I want to thank everybody for coming in. I will say, when we get everybody to give a big shout out, and we'll finish up the show. Tell you what, Stacy, we'll start with you. Let you send all your information out about the cook-off, and we're recording all the way, so it ain't going to matter. Send that out and how to get a hold of you. Mark, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and then you give out information on your cook-off and how they find your team and stuff. Then Chadwick, we'll let you talk to everybody there for a minute. Daryl, you still there?
Yeah, man, I'm here.
All right, I'm going to let you promote the Barbecue Superstar Sports Network after that, and I'll finish it up. So how's that, guys?
That sounds good to me.
That's good.
Okay. Well, I appreciate everybody coming on.
Yes, sir. I'm Stacy Lawler with Swamp Donkey's Barbecue. All right, Stacy Lawler with Swamp Donkey's Barbecue. We're going to be at the first annual Shotgun Fred Barbecue Showdown in Huntsville, Texas. It's Friday and Saturday. It's a KCBS sanctioned event, guaranteed $10,000 pay up. Come by and see us. We got, first off, our longest running sponsor, Big Ron's Rubs out of Houston, Texas. We got All Phase Weather Marine out of Huntsville. We got Pro Green Landscape Services, McGilberry Mechanical, AC and Heat. And if y'all want to check out some really fine Barbecue Guru products, come by and see us.
Okay.
Mark Bateman here.
Thank you, Stacy.
Mark Bateman here from Lee County, New Mexico. We're going to have the first annual Lee County Black Gold Barbecue Blowout, September 12th and 13th here in Hobbs, New Mexico. I want to invite everybody to come out to that. As far as me personally, I'm the team captain of Putz Butz Barbecue. We're planning on traveling to San Marcos in 2 weeks, entering in the National Barbecue Business Group's Barbecue Bash, I believe is what they call it, in San Marcos. Lance, thank you very much for having us on. Daryl, always a pleasure to talk to you, and you fellows have a great week.
Thanks, Mark. All right, Chadwick.
All right, guys. Right here I am, Chris Chadwick, Team Hall County Cookers. Had to call in to the West Texas Pitmaster Barbecue Show. Lance Moore is doing a fine job. I enjoy doing this. I am a show host of the Wednesday Night Barbecue Superstars Network. Let the smoke roll, Chris Chadwick in the house. Let's talk smoke. Do it every Wednesday night. It's always a pleasure to call in, guys. I just want to call in, and I didn't want to take everybody's time up, but just be a part, try to support, and do what we try to do. You know, we always kicking the tires and lighting the fires around here. So I wish you the very best, and y'all have a great night. And Daryl, I hope to talk to you soon. Are you going to bring us live morning show in the morning?
I sure am. I'll be on 9 a.m.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you then. And, Lance, have a great evening. And until next time, take care. All right. See y'all later.
Yes, sir. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, man.
Have a good evening. Yes.
Lance, one more thing before y'all go, man. I invite you and everybody else from Barbecue Superstars. Like I said, this is the first annual event. Every year it's going to go down first weekend of March. So Barbecue Superstars and everybody involved is more than welcome every year.
Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate it. I'm gonna make it down there. Like I said, this too much went on at the beginning of the year for me already to make another long trip like that, but I'm gonna plan on it next year. Okay?
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you for your time. Yes, sir.
All right, Daryl.
Well, we just want to let everybody know that Barbecue Superstars is absolutely interested in the finest barbecue competition in the world. My number one goal through all the research that I've done on sanctioning bodies and barbecue competition is to put together the real NASCAR verifiable result competition circuit that's ever been performed. A sport is a system where everybody's entry and everybody's cook and the scores and the judges thereon can be verified in a manner that justifies and identifies a real sporting event. And that's what Barbecue Superstars Sports Network is all about, is because we think that we can produce something the teams can hang their hat on. And when a world champion is declared, that person can, with blood and ink, write it down that they are the true number one competitor in the world in barbecue competition. And that's what Barbecue Superstars Sports Network is dedicated to. So we have really come down to two sanctioning bodies who are in the league to sanction all the barbecue contests in the BSBN, and that's the Florida Barbecue Association and the IBCA. And Florida Barbecue Association is the closest to a perfect sanctioning body that I've ever came across. But the IBCA, for a lot of other reasons, the random pulling of judges to get a true, what the public would like as the number one barbecue, has its place in there too. And for some way that I could merge some of the judging ideas of the IBCA into the FBA with their expert reporting of scores. I wish I could do that somehow, but we might move forward with the FBA. I'm not sure, but for now, we'll be willing to take 40 qualifying contests, four quarterfinals, two semifinals, and one World Series champion. We're putting this together now. If you get your contest in now, we've got to cover all four corners of the United States. So once we get this thing in, the number one thing that's going to make it after the judging is the broadcasting. Live television in every event. It's going to be a system of sport no less than the NFL, the MLB, the NBA, and NASCAR. This will be a true legitimate sport. So we ask everybody to support us. We appreciate Hobbs, New Mexico, and Mark coming on, Andrews, Texas, Lubbock, Texas, and the Breast Fest. We've already got 9 contests that are already locked in, champion of champions of the TBA, and we're looking for about 31 more for qualifiers. When we move to quarterfinals, we'll have to have them positioned correctly in the United States so no one has to travel more than anyone else. Same for the semi and the world championship. And Lance, you are a great guy and a big integral part of Barbecue Superstars, and we couldn't do it without you. And I don't know how we met an old guy out there from way out there in Texas, Lubbock, Texas out there, but we're really glad we did. And I tell you, you got a great radio show, and I appreciate you letting us on tonight, and we'll be looking forward to next week's show.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir, Daryl. I appreciate it very much. And guys, I want to invite everybody every week to come on and listen to the West Texas Pitmaster Barbecue Show on Sunday night, sponsored by Barbecue Superstars and Daryl Mass himself. I'd also like to give a shout-out to our other sponsors, Elk Ridge Barbecue, Mike Trump. I've got some great stuff out there. If you're looking for some award-winning rubs, brines, he's the man to get a hold of. He's got it going on. Madcow Cutlery, if you're looking for knives or anything of that nature, madcowcutlery.com. He's got some great stuff. Sweet Smoke Q, Jim Elser, another man that's got some kick-ass injections out there. He's been leading the FDA, just like we were talking about earlier. So if you're looking for some great products, get a hold of Jim Elser. BarbecueSmokersSupply.com and SmokerPlans.net. Frank Cox, great guy. I'm cooking with one of his smokers on my rig. It kicks ass. He's got some great stuff. If you're looking for parts, if you're looking for a cooker to be built, if you're looking for, you can build it yourself. If you're looking for blueprints, get a hold of Frank Cox because he can fix you up with any part of that. He'll take care of it, and it's just great. Raider Red Meats, if you want some award-winning meats for your next competition, get a hold of Tate down at Red Raider Meats. He'll take care of you. He'll fix you up. That's what we've been cooking with. And you see, I mean, we win. Pitmaster Depot, if you're looking for rubs, injections, you know, like Oak Ridge or any of that kind of stuff, Sweet Smoke Q, they carry all of that. They have some of the cheapest shipping rates out there. Give Zach and Jay a holler. They'll sure take care of you. GOT Energy Services, Brandon and Jennifer Spaulding, great pay part of our competition team. They take care of us and they're the ones that helps us to afford to do a lot of these contests and stuff. Talk Texan, Philip Lujan, another man has got some great injections out there and some rubs. He's got some kick-ass stuff that works well. He always has lots of calls. He's done well even at the Royals and like that. Give Philip a holler. You can even watch some of Daryl's been doing some videos and stuff here lately with some of his products. Go by and take a look at it. Texas Web and Graphic, Paul Lawrence, if you're looking for banners, business cards, any of that kind of stuff, Paul can fix you up. Just look him up. You can find him under, like I said, TexasWebAndGraphic.com. Big Ron's Rubs, another great guy. He's got some great rubs, got some great injections out there. Barbecue sauce, great guy. Look up Big Ron's Barbecue, Big Ron's Rubs. Meat Rake, like I said, once again, if you need to pull your meat, if you need to pull some pork, you need to pull some brisket, or, you know, you can shred chicken, you can do about anything you want to with those rakes. They work great for lots of different applications. MeatRake.com. And Brad Bear with Grill Grates. And if you're looking for that kick-ass steak, that nice sear, you're looking for that infrared style technology out on your charcoal grill or your gas grill or any of that kind of stuff, those are the berries right there. That is what you need. They work great. We're going to have them here. You'll see a lot of people cooking with them in the SCA, the State Cook-Off Association, and I know that Brett Galloway, they believe in it. Monty Brown, two world champions right there, they use that product when they cook steaks, and I also use them. They're great. So with that, guys, I appreciate everybody coming on and joining in every Sunday night. Look forward to next week. Check out old Chadwick on Wednesday nights. And, guys, you have a good evening. Thank you.